Let's learn. So we are in Parshas Nitzavim. So we'll do an abridged session because I know many of us have to run, unfortunately, afterwards. But let's get started. So we are 1090, the middle of Parshas Nitzavim. This is a series of beautiful psukim. I have a feeling we've learned these before, but they speak for themselves, and it's just time of year. It's worth learning them again. So the speech that Moshe gives the Jewish people goes as follows: beginning of chapter 30, Perek Lamed. Moshe says, "Vayaki avolacha kol advarim ha'ele." It will be that all these things that we've spoken about, all of the blessings and all of the curses and the calamities and the teichacha that we read last week, they're going to happen. You're going to go through, as the Ramban understands, these psukim is Moshe telling us in the future what's going to be. They will happen, and it will play itself out. All the things that I've placed before you. But you know what's going to happen, Moshe tells us? After all of those brachas and all of those curses have befallen us, you will take it to heart amongst all the nations where you will have been dispersed by Hashem, your God. It's going to happen. You'll be dispersed. You will end up in the four corners of the earth. You will be everywhere as we are today, literally dispersed. Although now the truth is, in the last 70, 80 years, we've actually begun to gather much more. But until that point, we were literally dispersed into the four corners of the earth. And Moshe tells us, but it's going to happen. V'hashivosa el livovecha. You will place it, you will return it to your heart amongst all the nations where you are. And what's going to happen then? V'shavta ad Hashem elokecha. You will return to Hashem, your God, v'shomata b'kolo. You will listen to His voice, k'chol asher anochi mitzavecha hayom, like all that I have commanded you today. And again, we point out Moshe always, not always, very, very often uses that language of hayom. I've commanded you today, today, today. And Rashi says, he doesn't say here, but he says many other times in Chumash, you should always feel the freshness as if I'm commanding it to you today. So Moshe says, and you're going to return to Hashem. You're going to listen to His voice. Ato vanecha, you together with your children, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, and you're going to do so with all your heart and with all of your soul. That's what's going to happen. You're going to be dispersed, and then you're going to return. You're going to be inspired to come back. And then Moshe says, v'shav Hashem elokecha eshuvu secha, v'richa mecha. Hashem, your God, will bring back your captivity and have mercy upon you. V'kibetzcha mikol ha'amim, and He will gather you up from all the nations, Asher hefitzecha Hashem Elokecha Shama, all the places where you ended up, He's going to gather you back. Vishav Hashem Elokecha Shavu Secha, He's going to have mercy on you, and He's going to gather you together. One more person, I'm going to go back a little bit. Im yihye nidachacha b'kzei Hashemayim, and even if you're dispersed, we'll be at the ends of the heavens. Misham yikabetzcha, from there He's going to gather you up. There is no hiding. There is no place too far. No mountain high. Sorry, no matter where it is, He's going to take you. He's going to gather you. Misham yikachecha. From there He will gather you. From there He will take you. Vehaviyacha Hashem Elokecha el ha'aretz. He's going to bring you to the land that your fathers inherited, and you will now inherit it. And He will do good to you even more, and increase you even more than your fathers. Beautiful psukim, just describing the final redemption. That how is this going to start? These series of psukim, as we now go back over them. How is this going to start? Well, first, the things that I've discussed are going to happen to you. The calamities. Last week's parsha, we read the teichacha, the horrible curses, and we literally watched, we saw the generation prior, what they went through, which is still unimaginable, as the psukim described. But you're going to experience the blessings, you're going to experience the curses, and then there's going to be this spirit of tshuva that's going to sweep through. V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. And then Pasuk Gimel that we read, Vishav Hashem Elokecha Eshuvu Secha. Now Rashi here comments, a beautiful Hermes, two comments on the language of Vishav Hashem Elokecha Eshuvu Secha. That literally, which translates as Archibald has it here, Hashem will return, will bring back your captivity. And Rashi points out in the top of the second column, Hayel Aluchtov Veheshiv Eshuvu Secha. The grammar is a little bit off. Since being with the pasuk means to say is that Hashem will bring back your captivity, the right word would have been veheshiv es shivusecha, that He will bring back your captivity. The language of vishav Hashem Elokecha, if you read that phrase in a vacuum, and you just were asked to translate that phrase, vishav Hashem Elokecha, what would that translate into?
Return to your God?
That Hashem will come back. Vishav Hashem, Hashem will return. So the Gemara says, that's a very interesting phrase, that the context of what it means is that Hashem will return you, but the grammar could be understood as if it says that Hashem Himself will return. And Rashi comments, Rabbo Seinu Lamdu Mikan, the sages learn from here, Kaviyochol, it says, if to say, Shashchina Shruya Im Yisrael, that the Divine Presence itself dwells with us, Vitzaras galusam, in the pain of our exile. And therefore, ukishin nigaolin, so that when we're redeemed, well, what else has to happen when we're redeemed? As if there's a geula la'atzmo, as if there's a redemption for him himself, for the divine presence, which is in exile with us, he needs to come back. It, she, however we want to describe the Shechina, Hashem's presence needs to come back. Shehu yashuv imahem, that it, the presence, will return with us. So then when the pasuk says, I will bring you back, really it's Moshe speaking, that Hashem will bring you back, the grammar that he used hints at that he himself will also come back. Because as we sit here in the exile, the divine presence is here with us. It's not in Yerushalayim. There's a mosque on Har HaBayis, as we've mentioned many, many times. Shechina has not returned. Redemption will happen when the Shechina returns to Eretz Yisrael. The fact that we're back in great numbers and miracles are happening every day in Eretz Yisrael, it's amazing to watch. We should all be there soon, Eretz Hashem. But redemption is complete when the divine presence... Well, where is it now? Says Rashi, it's with us in exile. In Tzaras Galusim, in the pain of our exile, in the suffering, in the long, unending exile, that we can now see a light at the end of the tunnel, the Shechina is there with us. Now, the Gemara that Rashi...
We're
suffering terribly. In other words, if you look at it as the fact that we have food on the tables and they're not Cossacks banging down our doors, yes. Yes, from that perspective, yes. But again, there's so many ways to that. First of all, over the last 2,000 years, it's been a constant history of things are good and then things are horrible. Spain, Germany are just the two prominent examples, but that's been the story of our history. Every time it seems to be pretty good, and in Spain it was a golden era, and Germany was a wonderful place for the Jews, and then they both became... unmitigated disaster. So one should be weary of the blessing that we have here in North America, because Jewish history says that doesn't end well. And the fact is, we know it's not going to end well because we're not supposed to be here. We need to go home. So, how are we going to get there? So, we have the choice to go on our own and free will and blessing, or what? We'll see. We'll get to that. Well, that's the back half of Rashi. We'll get there in a second. But the bottom line is, the Gemara that Rashi's quoting actually adds a phrase, which is interesting to me, that Rashi did not bring. But the original source that Rashi is quoting starts as follows, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Bo ure, come and see, kama chavivin Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How beloved are the Jewish people before Hashem, shebechol makom shegolu, that in every place that we are sent into exile, Shechina imahem, the divine presence is with us in that exile. Va'af kishem asidin lehigol, so therefore when we are going to in the future be redeemed, Shechina imahem, the Shechina will be redeemed with us. And he quotes this pasuk, v'shav, the Gemara quotes the pasuk, v'shav Hashem alokacha, that Hashem will return our captivity. It's as if he himself is coming back with us. So the original source that Rashi is quoting adds, look at how beloved you are. That he doesn't just kick you out of his palace and say, go fend for yourself in the forest until I call you back home, but that the divine presence is with us wherever we go. Wherever we go, and through every pain and suffering, the divine presence is suffering with us. And when we will return home, the divine presence will return home with us. This is the source, and this is, we always read this parsha either right before, during this time of year of Rosh Hashanah. Just literally, we're hours away from standing Rosh Hashanah. One of the central themes, the central theme of Rosh Hashanah, is the prayer, the yearning that the Jew has for the recognition that the world will have, the universal prayer that the world recognize Hashem as King, Hashem as Creator, and the return Hashem Melech Li'olam Va'ed, to have Hashem be King over everybody. And it's a yearning. In order to yearn from that, it's a recognition that right now your presence is not recognized as King, Creator, Source of everything. We want to recognize that and declare you to be a King now. And we yearn that everyone should come to recognize that. Kol asher neshama be'apo, let everyone who has a soul in their nostrils say, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech. Let them all declare that the God of the Jewish people is the King, Umalchuso bakol mashallah, and his reign is over everything. And so this Gemara that Rashi quotes, because right now his presence is in exile. Right now his presence is with us in the suffering of the exile. In this, we're in the process of returning home, but we're still here in exile, and his presence is still there with us. And this really reflects that yearning of, we don't just daven for ourselves on Rosh Hashanah. This is again finishing up that theme. When a Jew stands on Rosh Hashanah, we do not just daven for ourselves or our personal redemption or even our national redemption. We daven for Hashem Himself. We want you to be revealed, to be redeemed, to be recognized as Umalchuso Bakol Mashallah. And it's literally us yearning that the divine presence should be revealed and be redeemed, because as Chazal say, it's in, the divine presence is here in exile with us, and we are, should be pained by that and yearning, and that is one of the central themes of Rosh Hashanah to have in mind as we stand there, not just about ourselves, not even about our nation and our people, but about the divine presence itself. Rashi then adds a second comment. What does it mean, Veheshiv Hashem, that Hashem will return your captivities from their places of exile? Rashi says, "V'od," the meaning of the fact that the language is that Hashem is going to return you, each and every one of you. Says Rashi, "Yeshlomer shegodol yom kibbutz goliots." How great is going to be the day of the return of the exiles? Uvikoshi, and difficult. It's going to be so hard to get the Jews back to the land of Israel, as we all know from the fact that we're still here. Ki'ilu hu atzmo tzarech lios oches biyodov mamish, Rashi says. As if Hashem is going to have to hold on to the hand, mamish, literally, as if Hashem has to hold on to the hand of each and every one, ish mimekomo, each and every person from his place, and bring them back to the land of Israel. I'm in Pasuk Gimel, Rashi. V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shavu Secha. Hashem will return you from your captivity. Singular. Shavu Secha. Hashem will return you. Rashi says, as if it's going to be so hard to get the Jews back. It's going to be so hard. He's going to have to come and to one at a time. Come, my tire kindle. Come, it's time to go home. I don't want to. I can't. This reason, that reason. We all know all the thousands of reasons why he's going to have to come one at a time and pick us up and bring us home. And so says Rashi, this final redemption, and going back to your comment you made earlier, it's always been that way historically. The better the exile is, the harder it is for us to go home. When things get horrific, we're ready to leave. We're ready to drop everything and go home because things are terrible. And so, you know, it's always, that's the choice. You know, go now when it's good, because the alternative is going when it's not good. Those are the alternatives, you know. Either, you know, we should, you know, that's how it goes. That's Jewish history, and it's not anything new. It's the way that it's been in the last, you know, look at the last 100 years of where have the majority of the Jews come from that have filled the night now 7 million Jews in the land of Israel, halfway there in terms of world Jewish population. It's literally, we say that so many times because it's such a miraculous event that has unfolded in front of our eyes over the last 70 years. Where'd they come from? So the majority of them are all coming from countries that are disasters for them to be in, where they had to flee from. And the countries that are the most stable and wealthy and things are good have the smallest numbers. North America has the smallest aliyah number. We don't compare to the Russian Jewish, the Ethiopian aliyah, Iraq, Iran, all of those places in the 40s, they had to flee for their lives. And wherever things get bad, they run. So, you know, just looking at Jewish history, so he's going to take us one by one with our hand. That's a sign of when things are good. He's going to have to literally pull us out to go back home. And there are many mechanisms with which to get a Jew to go back home when the time is right. So anyway, that's just a snippet. So Rashi says, that's on the Pasuk, these two Rashis. Number one, that the Shekhinah is with us here. As long as we're still here, The divine presence is with us. And number two, Rashi says the day of the redemption is going to be so great and so difficult, he's literally going to have to hold us mamish, Rashi says, one by one, each one of us by our hand, and bringing us back home. He's like, come, it's time to go back home. And taking care of all of that. Okay, so then as the pasuk said, and wherever you are, he's going to do that. Miksei Hashemayim, the ends of the heavens. Misham Yikabetzcha, from there he will gather you. Misham Yikachacha, from there he will take you to bring you home. Ve'avi'ochay al ha'aretz asher Yoshua v'osecha. Again, reading pasuk K, verse 5. He's going to bring you to the land that your father has inherited. Virishta, and you will inherit it. And he will do good things for you and increase you even more. There's one other Gemara I just want to share. The Gemara picks up on the language, the double language of Yerusha in this Pasuk. It says the word Yerusha, to inherit twice. That Asher Yarshua Vosecha, that your fathers inherited, Virishta, and you will inherit that land as well. And you will possess that land. And so the Gemara says, in Maseches Yevamos, that Yerusha Rishono Ushniya Yeshlehem, that your fathers, the forefathers, had two Yerushas. One when Yehoshua came, and originally conquered the land after Moshe's death, which we're about to read about, and he led the Jews into the land. And then a second time when Ezra and Nehemiah led the Jews back after the Purim story to resettle the land and rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. Two times your fathers are going to inherit the land, but that's it. Beyond that is going to be you, but and it's going to be fundamentally different. And so the Gemara derives from here, and this is a major discussion in Halacha, exactly the ramifications, that the Kedusha, the sanctity of the land needed to be sanctified, happened the first time, and it needed to be re-sanctified when Ezra came. But that's it. After that second exile, the third exile really took place, after the time after the exile from the second Beis HaMikdash took place, which is where we're in right now, when we return, so there's an opinion in the Gemara that we don't need to re-sanctify the land. It remains in its sanctity even when we weren't there. And this is ramifications, for example, Shemitah, produce, if you have to take off Truma, mitzvahs that apply to the land. When the Jews, before they came, it didn't apply. The land wasn't sanctified. When they left after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the land wasn't sanctified. But it was sanctified after the time of Ezra, and then that sanctification remains even until today when we weren't there. And that as we come back, we're just returning to that which was always and remaining in its status of sanctification and the ramifications that have. There's much, much to discuss, way beyond the scope of our class today, in terms of what are the ramifications. But the idea of that there is a continuous process, that the land remained in its kedusha, in its state of sanctity, and all that's needed is for us to come back. We don't need what was needed in the times of Ezra, an official sanctification of the land, or the times of Yehoshua. We just need to come home. But the land remains in its state, just waiting and yearning, bereft of its children, waiting for her children to come back, and then it's, so to speak, ready to go. That's the opinion the Gemara quotes based on this pasuk and many others. And that discussion of the ramification, that again is a very, very large, well beyond our scope discussion. Continuing in the psukim. What's going to happen when you then return? In verse 6, Pasuk Vav, Umal Hashem Elokechas Levavachav, Yes Levav Zarech Hashem, will then circumcise your heart and the heart of your children, Le'ahavos Hashem Elokecha B'chol Levavachav V'chol Nafshecha, to love Hashem, your God, with all of your heart and with all of your soul, Leman Chayecha, so that you may live. Now this is a pasuk which many variations of this pasuk is going to come up many times in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur during this time of year, in Slichos, and in different times of the davening, in which we daven Umal Hashem Elokecha. We daven for Hashem to do so. This is what Moshe says will happen. What's the one interesting question that you should ask on this pasuk?
You may live.
There are a couple of questions, actually, yeah? Well, the first question is, well, what does that mean? What exactly does it mean that Hashem will circumcise your heart? Obviously, it's a figure of speech. You know, when we talk about Mila and circumcising, it is a physical concept of removing a piece of skin. So what would it mean to circumcise one heart?
To shape it.
Okay, obviously we're talking about, you know, the theory of the heart. There's nothing physically going to be removed from our heart. So what would that mean? And there's an also fundamental question, just in terms of the chronology of what these psukim are describing. What has happened so far during this speech? Like, where are we in the chronology of the end of days? We came back already. Like what happened in the first pasuk we read? All the blessings and curses will happen to us, and then what will we do? How will we respond? Pasuk said, "Vishafta ad Hashem elokecha." You will return to Hashem. You will return to Hashem with all your heart and all your soul, and so He'll bring you back. So we did shuv already. We're home. I would have wanted the circumcision of the heart to happen first. That would be something, because you know what? I'm struggling now, as are the Jewish people as a whole in exile. That would be awesome if you would circumcise our hearts now here, then we'd be able to do tshuva in a much greater way and expedite this process of getting home. Sounds like we already did tshuva. He brought us home. And then, so why is that happening here? So the Ramban has two comments. First, the Ramban says, this is really a fulfillment of what the Gemara says, Habolitaher misayinoso. He who comes to purify himself, Hashem will help you. They help you from heaven. Which is the idea that says, very often, a person, can't do everything on their own. The Gemara says, that's fine. We don't expect that. All we want is that you want it. He who comes to purify himself will receive the divine assistance to be able to succeed. That's the language of the Gemara. Abali tire. What's required of us? To want to be metire, to want to be purified, to want to do things better. If you do so, from Shemayim, they'll bless you with the strength, the knowledge, the circumstances that you need to be able to succeed. Correct. Literally. You have to want it.
The motivation.
If you want it, you'll see things will happen in a way. Even though you could say, I don't know how this is going to work. It's okay. Maybe you're right that right now you can't see how it's going to work. That's not your problem. Don't worry about that. Your job is to rachmana liba bay. Hashem wants your heart. And if you want it, it will happen. So the Ramban says this pasuk is a fulfillment of that. The original pasuk says, Vishav ad Hashem alakacha. You're going to want it. He'll then figure out, like, I don't know, how am I going to be able to do that? I'll take care of that. Umal Hashem Elokecha, I will, so to speak, circumcise your heart to remove all the obstacles, as long as you say, I'm already there, I'm coming, I want to come home. I don't know how I'm going to make this work. Don't worry about it. You just tell me you want to come home, I'll figure out how we're going to make it work. You know, the kids say, I don't know, we can't come home for Yantiv. It's like crazy, there's no room. Parents, just, you come home, we'll figure out how we're going to make this work. That's just come home. You return to me, and then I'll circumcise your heart, and you'll see the way you think now, with a, so to speak, uncircumcised heart, you can't figure it out. But when I figure that out for you, you'll be okay. We'll all work that out. That's his first comment. Then he makes a second comment in which he explains, well, what exactly does that mean to circumcise the heart? And he has a very fundamental concept that is, it's a complex concept, which he addresses here, which we'll start. It's larger than the time we have, and deeper than I have a full understanding of, but it's an important concept. And he says as follows, and it's based on a Gemara. Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin says that the world is going to be 6,000 years. I'm sure you've heard this quoted every once in a while. 2,000 years of tow, 2,000 years of, I don't say nothingness, but 2,000 years of chaos. 2,000 years of Torah, and 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach. So there are different approaches to how to explain it. Now, according to one approach, we're like at the end of the 6,000. It's a complicated Gemara. But what the Ramban understands, in terms of however he wants to break up the years, is there's going to be a shift from the era which he calls Torah into the era that he calls Yemos HaMashiach. There's going to be a fundamental shift in the way that we function. And the Ramban says, this pasuk of Umal Hashem Elokecha, that Hashem will circumcise our heart, refers to that shift from an era of Torah to an era of Yemos HaMashiach. And that is defined by what we would call desire to do evil things. I don't mean evil in the worst way. I just mean when normal people want to do things that are not always the right thing, the best thing. We have interesting, we have personal, selfish, whatever they may be, desires. And the Ramban says, just read you some of his words. From the beginning of time, he writes, from the beginning of the Bria, every person has permission, the ability to do that which they want. Kirtzono Tzedek, Kirtzono Resha. You want to be a Tzedek? You want to be a Rasha? It's your choice. Every person has what we call free will. Do act as you want. V'chol zman haTorah kein. And that is as long as the, during the era of what we call Torah, which is what we're in now. And why is that? He writes, "Shiyeh lehem zchus b'vichirasam batov," that there should be merit as we choose good. "Ve'onish b'rtzosam b'ra," and punishment for choosing bad, wicked, not on the side of good. And that's the choice. And that is the concept of schar ve'onish, reward and punishment, and that everything that we do is preparing for the world to come, and that form of schar and onish based on the choices that we have the free will to make. Says the Ramban, that entire nature of the way that we live in our world today, that is all that we understand, is going to fundamentally shift at the end of days in the Messianic era. Aval b'yemosa Mashiach, tiyeh b'chira batov lahem teva. Choosing good will become natural.
Nature.
Just part of our nature. The simplest explanation for this that I have seen over the years, I'm sure I've said this before, so I apologize for repeating myself. Do we have free will today to stick our hand in the fire? When you turn on your stovetop to cook, and you see the fire there, do we have free will to put your hand in? Of course you do. Do you? Do you desire it? Do you ever think about that and say, oh, that'd be so cool to try that? It's not a normal, healthy person doesn't have those thoughts. It doesn't even enter their mind. Now, there are people who unfortunately are not well who do have, but they're not well. But a normal, healthy, functioning person, that's not something I struggle with. Should I put my hand in the fire? Should I not? Why don't I struggle with that? Because it's so clear how unhealthy that will be for me, how damaging, how painful, how permanent the damage could be. Why would I think of that? It's not something that I desire. Now, does a person have other desires in terms of not being so monetarily honest or straightforward, eating certain foods, doing certain things? Of course, yeah. And we think about it, and we struggle it, and we want it, and we sometimes even do it. Says the Ramban, that's the era that we live in right now, where inside of our beings is a struggle between good and bad, right and wrong, tov and evil, all of that. And it's complicated for us. And as we look around the world around us, many people struggle with all sorts of things, some of which we also struggle with and we understand, some of which are not our struggles and we can't understand. But in the same way that when we see a person fail in something that does not tempt us, we look at that and we say, like, I don't know, like, what were they doing? Thinking, why would they throw their life away for that? Well, there are other things that we struggle with, and that someone else might look at us and say, like, what? Why would you be Mosa Mashiach? That distinction between Tov Vira, right and wrong, will be crystal clear for all of us, and it will become part of our nature to choose good, because we will see so clearly the benefits, the detriments, and it's like, yeah, we'll have free choice, but it won't be like it is now, because it won't be that type of struggle. Lo yis'ave halev. The heart will not desire l'ma she'eino ro'i, to that which is not fit for it, correct for it. V'lo cheftzo bo klal. You will not desire it at all. And that's the meaning, says the Ramban, of this pasuk, of Umol Hashem Elokechas Levavcha. I will circumcise your heart, because that extra, so to speak, not real piece of skin covering blockage is the source of that confusion that we have in life between that which is right and that which is wrong. And we don't always see so clearly that which is right and that which is wrong. And sometimes even when we do see clearly, we still stumble because we want it. And when a person wants something, even the knowledge that it's wrong doesn't stop us from eating the second piece of chocolate cake. I don't need to be told that it's wrong. I know it, but I can't stop myself anyway. And that's just a simple example that we all can appreciate, but it applies in so many other areas of our lives. Says the Ramban, Umol Hashem Alokacha. There'll be a time when Hashem will circumcise our hearts. And because chemda and taiva, the desire and drive, is what's is known as the Orel Halev, that extra piece of heart that needs to be circumcised. And we will return, says the Ramban, Ala Asher Yakodim Cheta'o Shel Adam Harishon. We will return to what it was like for Adam Harishon in Gan Eden before he sinned with a forbidden fruit, Shaya oise bitiv'o masheroyla, where he just naturally did that which was right, and did not have a desire for that which is wrong. And he brings numerous psukim, parenthetically, which we're not going to discuss, according to the Ramban, we would have to go through then, well then why did Adam sin? In other words, Adam's sin in Gan Eden was not a drive or desire, it was an intellectual decision that was made, not in the way that we sin, because we sin after his sin, and therefore it's part of our nature. But that's a separate discussion, exactly understanding what happened in Gan Eden with Adam HaRishon. But we will return, says the Ramban, and that's the Tfilu V'mal Hashem Elevavecha. I leave you with one last thought. We use this pasuk many times during this time of year, in Slichos and our Machzor, that Hashem should circumcise the heart. And one of the meanings of that is, even before that era when that will happen, is we're trying to use these days to achieve that clarity of what this pasuk refers to. That we live our life all year round, and with often a lack of clarity of our purpose in this world, our mission, what our talents and our strengths are, and how we should be using them. And we get distracted by all the things that we want to do, and it leads to behaviors that are not what they necessarily should be. And Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, these days, this time of year, is about experiencing that clarity. Clarity of vision, clarity of purpose, clarity of Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch, Li'olam Va'ed, so that I can achieve that state of not being so tempted by those things, because I have coming from within me that understanding and that clarity of right from wrong, which is so often clouded. And so it's all part of that idea that in the end of days, Moshe says, Hashem is going to do it. You're going to come back home and it's going to be a new era, which we can't even imagine what that's like right now, because we live in the era that we're in right now, but there'll be such an era, says the Ramban, in which the free will that we have now will fundamentally shift. The nature of reward and punishment will therefore fundamentally shift as well. That's how things will be. Well, we will much more naturally yearn to do that which is right. But we're not there. And so in the era that we're in, our job is to seek out that clarity, to be able to live the way that we need to with where we are. We just about finished the paragraph inside the actual psukim. Just for the sake of finishing the paragraph, Hashem pasuk Zion, Hashem will then place all of the curses that you just experienced on your enemies that have pursued you. You will return to listen to Hashem's voice, and Hashem will bless you with all of these wonderful blessings. And the pasuk tes ki yashuv Hashem lasus alecha litov kasher sasal avosecha. Our yearning that Hashem will then return to rejoice over us in the same way that He rejoiced over our forefathers Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And we will return. So this is one of Moshe's final speeches, a beautiful speech. The psukim speak for themselves, that we should see Mirtz Hashem soon, the day that Hashem Misham Yikabetzcho, Misham Yikachach, Hashem will gather us from wherever we may be, and take us home from wherever we might be found and dispersed, and return His presence with us together to Eretz Yisrael. Bimheir, it should be a good Gibench to year. Ksiva Chasima Toiva to everyone. And we'll pick up again after the Yom Tov. We'll have to work up the days with all the Yom Tovim coming where we'll learn.
Send an email around, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.